Okay.
So today's daf is Chof Ches, and we're holding on Chof Zayin on the base. In the middle of the at the beginning, actually, of the story. Tanravar. This is four lines above the large lines. Tanravar. Ma'aseh b'talmid echad was a maase with a particular student that came to Rabbi Yehoshua and asked him whether tefillat arvit is reshut or chuba. Amar lei reshut. So then he went to Rabbi Gamliel and he asked Rabbi Gamliel, Tfilat Arvit, Rishut or Chovah? Rabbi Gamliel told him it's a Chovah. Amalei, the Talmud said to Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, follow Rabbi Yehoshua, Amalei Rishut. When I went and asked Rabbi Yehoshua, he said that it was Rishut. Now who do I follow? Amalei, Hamtena Chikansu Baalei Trisim LeBeit HaMidrash. Wait until the knights arrive around the round table.
What is Russian Bali Trisim?
Knights. People that are holding shields. Kishinik Mesu Bali Trisim. When the knights arrived, Abad Ashurel, so the Talmud got up again to ask publicly, Vishal, Tfilat Arvid Rishut, O Chovah. Amar le Rabbi Gamliel Chovah. Amar le Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim. So Rabbi Gamliel stands up and says, is there anybody who has another opinion about this? Yesh Adam Shecholek B'davar Zeh? Staring at Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua says, oh no, absolutely not. Amar le, so he said, that's fascinating because the Mi'alo Mishimcha Amru Li Rishut. Somebody said that you actually said that it was a Rishut, not a Chovah. So then he said to him, Yehoshua, amod haraglaka, stand up. V'ya'idu b'cha, let's see. Amad Rav Yehoshua raglav. Amad, look. Yomalai ani chai v'hu meit. Look, if this kid was dead and I was alive, then I could just say it never happened, you know. Yochol ha'chai l'kish et ha'meit. Unfortunately, he's alive. So achshav sh'ani chai v'hu chai. Ech yochol ha'chai l'kish et ha'chai. So Rabbi Gamliel just turned aside, and completely ignored Rabbi Yehoshua, leaving him standing. Because he never gave him rishus to sit down. He was a nasi. So Rabbi Gamliel continued on with the drasha. Rabbi Yehoshua was a gadol ador, was standing. Until finally everybody starts muttering, and the muttering gets so loud that they tell Chutzpita Turgeman, stop. Chutzpita Turgeman was the equivalent of a loudspeaker. And that means they cut off the PA system. Because he was the one that was metargim la'am, what it was that Rabbi Gamliel was saying. So they turned off Rabbi Gamliel's amplifier. The Amar? Amri, so people said, Ad kamenitzar evenezer. How long is this guy going to go on making the public sick? Rosh Hashanah eshtakat sarei. Last year, it was the whole maisa of a year where he insisted that Rabbi Yehoshua publicly violate his din of Yom Kippur in order to accept Rabbi Gamliel's din of Yom Kippur. And then there was the whole Maisa B'Bechorot, the Maisa B'Rabbi Tzodek, he did the same thing, embarrassing him. Now he's doing it again, Hakadami Tzari, keeping Rabbi Yehoshua standing like he's an idiot. It's time to get rid of the king. Tovin Abre. Let's get rid of Rabbi Gamliel. All right, palace rebellion. Man nukamle, who should take his place? I mean, the most logical person to take his place is Rabbi Yehoshua himself, and we can't do that. That's the ultimate. That's the real truth. So he's the Baal Maisa, who can't have the guy himself that the whole thing revolves around take his place.
Because of the concern of the Tzar of Israel, I find that so fascinating. Like here you're saying, like, he was Mitzayr, but we're sensitive.
That's not the point. It can't be machlokas. It can't be because of the particular interpersonal relationships. It's a definition of the way Rabbi Gamliel acts as a melech, that he has no connection with his tzibur. It's not Rabbi Yehoshua against Rabbi Gamliel directly. Rabbi Yehoshua became the symbol, but if we make him the one, then it becomes personal. And Lamaisa, as we'll see later, this whole thing was only being done because of Rabbi Yehoshua. I mean, they needed to have someone an alternative kovet to stand up for. If they turn it, it's, I mean, that's, it's not only that it's the ultimate slap in the face, it's reducing the meaning of the whole interaction over here. Basically, this is a game. Should we make Rabbi Akiva the new Nasi? No, can't make Rabbi Akiva the new Nasi because that's all we need. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have skut avot. Comes basically from Geri. And Rabbi Gamliel is a powerful man. And his, all he needs to do is to be mitzpalel that Rabbi Akiva is giving him tzaras. And God knows what will happen to poor Rabbi Akiva. So we can't start up with that. Dilma Anishle, the Letle skut avot. Test ideas, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. First of all, he's a chacham. Secondly, he's rich. And thirdly, he's 10th generation from Ezra. We need a chacham, obviously. You can't have just an idiot in there. He makshle mepharikli. I mean, he's going to, Rabbi Gamliel is going to use, I mean, we're talking about the knights of the round table over here. That's how he refers to them. I mean, if somebody challenges him to a duel and he's unable to fight, I mean, what, you know, he doesn't have a chance. So here the fighting was in terms of your mind, he has to be chacham, okay. But he is a chacham. He's an ashir. Look, I mean, one of the big things about the Nisiut, Rabbi Gamliel, the Beit HaNasi, is that they were very rich. In order to be, to hobnob with Caesar and the Roman Senate, you gotta be rich. You're not gonna have any kind of ashpa there. We can't have some, what are we going to have? Some broken down rabbi who's going to be the representative? I mean, you need somebody who's classy. But he's rich. Furthermore, who has Cyrila Ezra? His 10th generation from Ezra. Obviously, as Zchut Avot, Rabbi Gamliel's not going to be able to do anything against him. They can measure their Zchut Avot against each other. So they sent a mishlacha to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. And they asked him, Mechle Lamad Avi Reish Matifta, do you want to take the place of Rabbi Gamliel? And you become now the new Rosh Hashiva. Yeah, we'll see the story. Omalahu, so he says, look, a decision like that, I mean, I got to speak to my wife. I that's all I need. Omalahu, he's a vimlech bin shibeti. I'm going to go now and speak to the family. Ozo vimlech bin avitu. So he went and he spoke to his wife about it. So she said to him, look, I mean, what do you want to put yourself in that kind of position? They just fired Rabbi Gamliel. They'll do the same thing to you. I mean, what, you know. You're going to be here. So, Dilma Ma'avin Lacha? So, you'll be the next on the target. What do you got to be the next one for? Oh, my law. He said, you know what people say. The thing is, you get one of these very thin crystal glasses. You know, there's people that stick it in their cabinet and never ever use it because it's going to break. Well, the popular saying goes, use a crystal glass for one day and break it rather than ever using it. They're fine, so they'll fire me later. But meanwhile, this is my big chance. You know, am I not going to take my chance? I'm Raleigh, so she said, okay, but you know, when you're a kid, you don't even have any white hairs. You can get up there, I mean, people are going to laugh at you. So Hu Yuma, that day, was his 18th birthday. Bartmanis Reishni Havi. Yisrakish Le Nisa, and a miracle happened. V'ahad Le Tmanis Se Darech Hivarta. And he got, as a gift for his birthday, 18 rows of white hairs. So now they would respect him a little bit.
Bottle of hair color.
Heinu Dekamer, Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria, resident signature. So says Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria, Nagarash HaPesach, Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana. It doesn't say Ani Ben Shivim Shana, but it says Ben HaShemayim. He was marked as the equivalent of a Ben Shivim Shana. Anyway, so sure enough, they fired Rabbi Gamliel, insert Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria in his place, and he changes the whole tone of the of Yavne. He brings everybody in, takes away the Shomer HaPetach, opens the yeshiva to anybody who wants to study, starts a Daf Yomi program, and takes away the Shomer HaPetach. We used to have a Shomer HaPetach because he didn't like anybody to just walk in.
So tell them how they removed him. I mean,
I told them.
But they didn't mention the cover for Rabbi Gamliel. They didn't say, hey.
They told Rabbi Gamliel. Yeah. It doesn't say how they told him. So, Rabbi Gamliel, as we'll see, thought that this was, you know, it was to teach him a lesson, but they weren't really serious. But we'll see what happens. Anyway. So not so otoyom so kula shomera petach. They took away the watchman at the door that would inspect everyone's heart to make sure that he was the right kind of person. Rabbi Gamliel used to say, "Kol talmid she'in tocho kivoro lo yikanes bet midrash." Anybody who just looks from on the outside but hasn't done anything with his inside is not allowed in. So they had a shomer petach to make sure of that. It's interesting. How did the shomer petach? Must have been quite a guy. Although the chassidim say the shomer petach was the words of Rabbi Gamliel. That was the shomer petach. They took away that shomer petach. Now who yumi tosu kamas avsalim? And then that day they had to add an awful lot of benches into the Beit HaMidrash. Rabbi Yochanan says there's a machlokas between Abba Yosef and Destoy and the Rabbonim as to how many new places were set up. Chadamer Tosu arba meot safsalei v'chadamer shva meot safsalei. So it was even 700 new benches, 400 new benches. Anyway, it was a whole different ballgame. Yeah. So Rabbi Amliel felt pretty sick about this. I mean, all these people actually wanted to come learn and they didn't learn because I didn't let them in. I mean, that's Avikochol Shadaita Rabbi Amliel. Is that I'm responsible for preventing people from learning? So he had a dream in which he was shown in the dream beautiful white pictures that inside were filled with black dirt, dust, ashes, to indicate that these are all aim toko kavoro, they're not worth anything, don't worry about it. But it wasn't really true. It's just that everybody sees what they want to see in their dreams. And it's a Velohi. He was shown that only that he should feel better about himself. But the truth is, he should have been concerned. Tana. Idiot bo bayom nishnet. Whenever we talk about bo bayom, we talk about the things that were said in idiot, and keep saying bo bayom, hey, bo bayom, bo, bo. That was that day. That was the famous day. Because they had so many new people, so much new activity in the Beit HaMidrash, so much new information, that they actually were able to get to the bottom of things that they never got to before. And kol hecha, the amrina bo bayom, wherever bo bayom is mentioned in the Mishnah, it's referring to that day, ahu yom ha'avi. V'lo haita halakha, shaita tuliya b'Beit HaMidrash, there wasn't a single suffix that they had left open until that time, shalo pirshu, that didn't come to a bottom line understanding in that day. And don't think that Rabbi Gamliel, because he was fired, didn't show up to learn that day by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Of course he showed up. How Rabbi Gamliel, lo manat momi Beit HaMidrash afilu sha'a achat, he didn't stop coming to the Beit HaMidrash even for one moment. It's not, because the Mishnah actually says, very interesting, there's a little insight to what was going on in the Beit HaMidrash. Bo Bayom, another one of the Bo Bayom Mishnayot, is that Bo Bayom Ba Yehuda Ger Amoni Lifneim Beit HaMidrash. A certain Ger from Amon, his name was Yehuda, came to the Beit HaMidrash and asked him, Ma Anila Bo Bekahal? Because after all, a male Amoni is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Gamliel was used to always standing up and giving the definitive answer, said, no way. Asura Tala Bo Bekahal. Unfortunately, his definitive answers were no longer definitive. And Rabbi Yeshua stood up and said, nonsense, don't worry about it. So Rabbi Gamliel turns to Rabbi Yeshua, what are you talking about, man? It's a Farish of Potsika. What are you going to do with the Potsik? Rabbi Yeshua, I don't understand. Who is Amoni Moavi? Well, the people happen to be living in the country of Amon Moav. It's Amoni Moavi. But you think, Amon Moav b'mekomanim yoshvim, that the current population was the indigenous population of Amon Moab. Don't you know v'kvaralasan cherev melech Ashur u'biobel et kol ha'umot? We know that one of the things that Sancherev was known for was the uprooting of populations and mixing populations to destroy local rebellion and local cultures. And he said, Asir gvulot amim v'yatidotehem. I, in fact, was Mesir. I took apart the gvulot of all of the nations, And indeed, all of the Atudatehem, which we call now the idea of Teudah and culture, I destroyed. And that's what I'm trying to do. Lorit Kabir Yoshvi. And I took down, it should say Kabir, I took down the knights, the greatest ones, that were sitting there. So that now we're left with a situation in which he could be anybody. Called the Parish Berubah Parish. I mean, right now, he's no different than anybody else. Amalar Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, that was during the time of Sancheirith. But Amon and Moab had a prophecy, and that the Navi promises them in Yirmiyahu, that after this destruction of Sancheirith, I will restore the diaspora of Amon, which undoubtedly means Kfar Shavu, they're back. So now if a guy comes from Amon, he's got to assume he's from Amon. Says Rabbi Gamliel, really? Last I heard, said Rabbi Yeshua, last I heard it also says, B'shapti et shvut ami Yisrael. I don't see them back. So what makes you think that B'shapti et shvut b'nei Amon means that they're already back? Vadayin lo shavu. So just like the Jews aren't back, the Ammonites aren't back. Miyad hitiru lo vodekal. And they ignored Rabbi Gamliel, and they were mocked at him, they voted, and he was allowed to intermarry. Rabbi Gamliel now took notice.
Nobody went to ask Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
He's Rosh Shiva, listening to them arguing. He knew that he wasn't on the Madrig of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua.
Why was he called Ammonite?
Because he lived there. He lived in Amman. Same way people who call themselves New Yorkers. Said Rabbi Gamliel, oh boy. Okay, if it's reached this stage already, I better go and apologize to Rabbi Yeshua. I mean, I'm sure they're not serious about making this permanent. I'll fix things up.
But maybe is the whole halachi a realization that maybe I blocked the halacha from coming out of my position?
I don't think so. No. Well, that's why I have to be Mephias. I realize that apparently I handled wrongly, that Sibur is mamish not behind me. What I say doesn't matter, they're not taking any notice of me. That's not Shayach, if it wouldn't be that something was very wrong with how I acted. Until now I thought it was a political issue. Now I see the public is simply, this is a real problem. I was mistaken. So I'm going to go to his house and I'm going to apologize. So he went to his house. Rabbi Yeshua was very, very poor. And he used to make his living burning wood to make charcoal. He would sell charcoal. Possibly he was a smithy. Rashi brings both Hashanahs. So you can imagine he's got this little hovel somewhere. Rabbi Gamliel lives in the palace. You understand? He's the Mishpachat HaNasi. So he goes, he comes into Rabbi Yeshua's house. Looks around at the walls. They're all black. So he says, I notice, try to make a little small talk before we get to the important issues. I notice from the color of your walls that you obviously are in the charcoal business, shall we say. Nikash Pchamiata. And Yeshua was not interested in any small talk, said, Oy lo ledor shataparnaso. So just another example of the terrible service to a generation that a guy like you should be the head of a generation. You don't know anything that's going on. I come into your Beit Midrash. Do you know what I go through? Do you know the pain I have? Do you know how I make my living? Do you know what it costs me to come to a Beit Midrash? No, I'm another guy sitting over there that you can walk over and roll over with your Nisiyot. And you're wondering why it is that people don't want you anymore. You have no sense of how the regular people suffer. The Mahim et Parnasim. You don't know what business they're in. The mind is on him. What it is that they have to live off of. So small talk. Yeah, I notice you're a blacksmith. Thank you. I'm like, okay. You're right. I'm accepting everything you're saying. Do me a favor, Mocholi. Nah, lo ashkachba. He didn't even look at him. So then Rabbi Gamliel said, look, I say b'shvil kvod Abba. I come from the Beit HaNesiyut. When you're going to destroy the whole Nisiyut and Rabbeinu HaKadosh and everything to come, and how can you do that? So he said, all right, fine, for that I recognize that it's a pagam and the whole nesiyut. I'm oichel you.
So is there a difference between pious and mahal? Is pious like pious but not really mahal?
No, it's pious. Is that I accept what it is that you're saying? Of course. I mean, that's what mechila is for, is to take away the tzar. That's the pious. Omru ma nezo v'leimu l'rabbanan. We better go back to the Beit HaMidrash and tell them that you were meichel me, and then that you put me back in. There's a whole question over here about how, some learn, actually Tosfos in Yuma compares this to the din of a Kohen Gadol that was yored because he was tamei or something, and then the skan took his place. So then afterwards it's accepted that he'll go back. In other words, it wasn't when they were ma'avir Rabbi Gamliel, it's not that they made it a permanent thing. They recognized that, look, you know, I mean, something has to be done in the current situation. It's like his tummy. So the current situation with his midas and his tkifut, we can't have him. But we understand that he'll be metakenet, so he'll be metakenet himself. And when he comes back, so we'll put him back. So it was understood, l'chatchila, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was meant as a temporary replacement. However, the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria at this point was the one to suggest that if that's the case, I don't want to be Nasi. I would prefer that. You notice he was the one who insisted that Rabbi Gamliel go back, but not that it was assumed that Rabbi Gamliel was ever going to go back. And as a matter of fact, the people in the Beit HaMidrash were rather upset that Rabbi Gamliel was going to come back, because they were afraid he was going to take it out on all of the people that had stood by Rabbi Yoshua. The two of them together said, so how are we going to get the Beit HaMidrash to accept it? I mean, you know, if they see me coming, or they see me coming with you, they're going to figure, you know, I probably have a gun to your back or something. I mean, how are we going to let them know? Amalu said, there was a guy there, Ahu Koves. There's always a washerman, a fullerman, that is there in the Mishpachat HaNasi. He's the one that restored all of the missing one derech of the Mishnah to Rebbe, because he had been listening out the Rebbe's window. Very mysterious generational fullerman. So anyway, the Koves said, okay, I'll go. Nobody will suspect me. I'll go. So, fine. Shalach lo Rabbi Yoshua lebe Midrasha. So Rabbi Yoshua sent him the message. Manda lovish mada yovash mada. The guy who was used to wearing the uniform, he was the Nasi. He should be the one to continue wearing the uniform. And the lo lovish mada, yemer le manda lovish mada, shlach matcha. Guy who never wore the uniform before should tell now the one that had, I mean, he was the emperor. He should tell him the emperor has no clothes. Throw off your madim. And I'll take him and I'll put him out. Nana, I'll be shaved. Rabbi Akiva hears this koves. He says, oh my God, he's starting with the politics already. Trokul Gali, slam the doors and lock them. We don't need any other people coming from Rabbi Gamliel with messages over here. The Lolaisi Abdom Rabbi Gamliel, we don't need servants of Rabbi Gamliel showing up here. Letzaru Rabbanan to make us problems. We're busy learning. He doesn't like it. He could stay out. So then the guy comes back, so they lock the door, slammed it in my face, and I was thrown out. What am I supposed to do? So Rabbi Yeshua said, okay, I better go myself. Mutav de'ekum ezel ana legabayo. I'll go to the Beit HaMidrash. Of course, the Beit HaMidrash was locked. There was no way to get in. So he comes and he knocks on the door. Nobody opens, of course. So he shouts out to them, Maze ben maze yaze. V'sheyo lo mazeh v'lo ben mazeh. Yomar lo mazeh ben mazeh meimecha meimahara v'yafrecha hefer mikla. Obviously somebody who was given a heksher to use the parah, the hefer, the parah aduma, must have been a very, very selected person. He had to be neman that the ashes were mixed properly, that the water was made mayim chayim el kevah, that there was a shmirah from tuma, not to mention the fact that this stuff is worth a mint. I mean, that he didn't add maybe, you know, a little bit of ashes from somewhere else, like a pile of matchsticks, you know. So that kind of guy has generations behind him. He's from the famous family of the Mazes. So over here, this is the Nesiut. So now you're going to come along, somebody's going to say, nah, that Heksher is worth nothing. We have a new Heksher. That's ridiculous. So that's what's happening over here. You guys are saying that the Nasi, okay, you don't happen to like this particular Nasi, but this comes from generations of people who were reliable and people knew that this is where they were going to get the authentic material. You're going to come now to some upstart like me, and he's going to tell this family, sorry, you're out of the running. It's ridiculous. He's going to say, your ether comes from pencils that you've been burning, and your water comes from some cistern instead of being Mayim Chayim. It's ridiculous. That's like claiming that this Heksher has really been by all these years, it was really a Heksher of Trefim East. You know? Many people say that. Of course, this is the Mishpachat HaNesiut. That's what he's planning. How can you just be done for that? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva hears the voice of Rabbi Yeshua on the other side. He says, Rabbi Yeshua, Nitpayasta. If you feel that way, I mean, Kluma Sinu Abashvil Kvotcham. Look, I mean, the whole trigger of this rebellion was you. I mean, if you feel now that this guy is all right, then we will take him back. So, Lamachra Niva Ta Nashkim Lepitcho. Tomorrow morning, there's a sign of kavod that we go early, like your mashkim to the Pesach of a melech. We'll go to his Pesach. So then they discussed what they should do. Amri Hechi Navid. Are we supposed to get rid of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Now, Lok is Malin Bekedesh Vein Morina. So once you took the Kayin Gadol, the Skam, and you made him a Kayin Gadol for Yom Kippur, when the other Kayin now becomes Tor, and he takes over, the Skam can no longer be a Kayin Hedyot. So we can't just simply make him just another guy in the Beit Midrash. He also has to be Chashan. Shall we split the leadership? Let him give the drasha one Shabbos, and let Rabbi Gamliel give the drasha the other Shabbos. And that way, we won't be marvin him. No. You have two people that are the same that kill each other. We can't do that. You can have people that are unequal, but you can't have people that are equal, because then they're in competition. So Nasi L'Knuye, they're going to end up being jealous of each other. What we should do is make it clear that Rabbi Gamliel is in the leading position. Let him say a drasha for 3 weeks out of the month, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will say a drasha 1 week.
Just
a rabbi. Yeah. And that way, he'll bide his time. That's why we find discussion in the Gemara. Shabbat shel mi haita. Whose turn was it to say the drasha? Somebody said, Shabbat shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah haita. And who do you think that little boy was that started this whole tumult? Yeah, it was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. It wasn't the first tumult he started. So in other words, he was the one who triggered this whole rebellion.
About Arvitz? Was he allowed
to? About Arvitz,
whether it was
Bo
version.
About Arvitz. Oh, man.
Is he allowed to ask again after he already asked?
I think that the pshat is in this sugya. I mean, I haven't seen any good pshatim. My personal opinion is that what happened over the years, especially taking into consideration the sugya as it develops later, is that we know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, was the tikkun at the end of Rabbi Akiva's life. Here he was a youngster, but he became a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva after this story. And he was the one that ended up getting, at the end of Rabbi Akiva's life, smicha from Rabbi Akiva. And we know that the Gemara Darshans, Richie, the Gemara Darshans about Rabbi Akiva, Benogea Sviras Omer, the Gemara Darshans, Babok Ezrat Zarecha, Ovarev Al Tanach Yadecha, Kien Chayadea Ezirchshar, Azel Zeh. A person should sow his seeds in the early stage of his life, Kalman. A person should sow his seeds in the early stage of life and not give up on the later part of his life. And that's where it brings the story of all these 24,000 Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva had in the early life, and he lost all of them. Until the end of his life, he had 6 Talmidim. The leading of that 6 was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Lamaisa, it's clear from the entire concept of Sfiras HaOmer, Kenegados 24,000, Now, the Lag BaOmer is different because of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So, as Rav Shimon bar Yochai was a tikkun for the destruction that had come from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was active in this Beis HaMidrash with Rabbi Gamliel. I believe that Rav Shimon bar Yochai detected as a child the incipient tragedy. He held at Rabbi Gamliel's nisiyut, and we see the way Rabbi Yeshua was talking. Was a disregard of the common man, was a sense of insensitivity to other people's situations, not recognizing them as human beings and capable of hearing, therefore their Torah. So if Rabbi Akiva, if Rabbi Yeshua would say something, Rabbi Gamliel would just dismiss it and leave him standing. And it was only after he was dismissed that he was capable of getting into even the argument about the Ger Amoni. And because of that, he triggered this rebellion early on. In order, which is an amazing thing, and that's why the Gemara clearly has been made. It's not saying at the end. You want to know what kind of jerk he was, you know, as a kid. That's not the point. I mean, obviously he triggered this. It's absolutely ingenious that he triggered this. Because where does he go? Puts himself in the middle of two different factions of the Beis HaMidrash as a kid. I mean, goes out of his way to say, didn't Rabbi Yeshua tell me this? So it's clear, especially the fact that it was put at the very end of the story. The drama of that statement, and by the way, you know who it was? It was Rav Shimon bar Yochai. It's clear that the Gemara is saying the whole story was Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Doesn't say Rav Shimon bar Yochai at the beginning, just so that you should know who it was, the idiot that did it. It was Adarava, the one who created this tikkun, was Rav Shimon bar Yochai, which is what he was after his whole life. So when he ended up in Metakein, the problem of the loss of 24,000 Talmidim, it was part of the way he viewed life from the beginning. That you have to do your best to try to bring people together. And even in his own life, where there was tremendous tefillah on him, that he was thrown into the cave for another 12 months because he didn't sufficiently was a constant aliyah to undo the damage that had come from this Yichud of the Nesiyut that went on down into the Talmidim and finally destroyed. It says, Ilam Shamim. I mean, the whole world was falling apart after the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. So I really think that's. I don't think there's any other shaykh to say. The Gemara doesn't stop squeal. You know, by the way, who cares? Either it's Nageya or it's not Nageya. I mean, if it's Nageya, and you want to know he's a jerk, so tell me you're up front, not at the end of the story. Rav's generation, many generations later, he's the transition between the Amorayim and the Tanayim. This is Rabbi Gamliel of Yavne we're talking about. The Shal Musafim Kol Hayom. Okay. Continues the Mishnah that the Tefillas HaMusafim, according to the Tanakhama, is all day long. Om Reb Yochanan, nonetheless, Nikra Posheyam. You can't put it off till the end and say, it's okay, you should daven the Musaf when you can early. And if you put it off, even though you're Yotze, because it's already time for another Tefillah, then you're a Posheyam. Nonetheless, your tefillah is mekubelet because it was bizman tefillah. Poshe in this sense means a lazy good for nothing, not poshe in the sense of a rush. Tana Rabbanan, hayula fanav shtei tefillot. This we had before. You have an opportunity now. It's time to daven both mincha and musaf. Achat shel mincha ve'achat shel musaf. Mitpalel shel mincha, first daven mincha, then daven musaf, v'achar kach mitpalel shel musaf. Shezot tedira v'zoi na tedira. You daven what comes first. Rav Yehuda says no, and this is Rav Yehuda Shita Tov, because according to Rav Yehuda Shita Tov, you hardly have any time left, because according to Rav Yeshua, it turns out you can only daven Musaf until 7. The Zman of Mincha starts at 6:30, so you got basically a half an hour. If you're going to daven Mincha first, you may end up not having enough time to daven Musaf. Therefore, it's more important to daven Musaf first, and then daven Mincha. Shezo mitzvah overet, v'zo mitzvah shein overet. You're going to have time to daven Mincha later. You're not going to have time to daven Musaf. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halakha mitpalel shel mincha, V'achar kach mitpalel shem musaf. There's a couple of issues over here which we'll need to discuss in, as I said, our mythical Friday discussions. But we have to determine, how about if a guy has a time to daven mincha? He has a minyan for mincha. There's many for mincha. It's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He always goes to that minyan. So now you're telling me he missed musaf today, so he shouldn't daven musaf. He should wait till after 5 o'clock and daven musaf. I mean, you mechuyav to daven mincha now in order to daven mincha before musaf. That's not so poshut. And that is a big machlokas rishonim. Is the din of tadir b'she'eino tadir, that the din of kedima is mechayav you not to do the earlier thing unless you've done the later thing. So it should be mechuyav to do the tadir first, or is it just if they're both in front of you? Like it says, are you lifanav shtei tefilot? But since you have a zman kavua for one, that one isn't nogea yet. I'm not holding by that. Why should I have to be makd in mincha, where I'm not normally makd in mincha? You see, it's two completely different ways of looking at it. There's a machayev you to daven mincha. That we'll talk about. That's a machlokas.
What?
If you were davening with the zman and you were davening musaf.
Well, we'll see. That's a machlokas also. Whether we talked about that earlier in the sector. We brought rise in both directions. If people are davening different Shmoneh Esreis, are they going to be considered Tefila B'Tzibur? It ended up that there's two different dinim of Tefila B'Tzibur. One is a din of Barov Am, and one is the halach of the Zman Shah Tefila Mitpalim, that we're all coming together to be mavakish the same things. Could be that different shitas stress different values in Tefila B'Tzibur, that it isn't really as fundamental in machlokas as it appears. Okay, but anyway, we went through that sugya, and it's not for now. On the same channel.
Is there the other end saying that it's synonymous with paskening, that like coming that it's all musaf is all day or loved up?
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I mean, it's saying mincha because of tadir. I mean, there's two. He's saying the halach is al tadir. I mean, whether during that half an hour, I'll leave it already. The Rabbi Yehuda, you would have suggested the same thing is also possible. So now, that's one shaila. The other shaila is like this. If you do this in the Beit Knesset, you're certainly going to confuse the Tzibur. In other words, a Beit Knesset has a Seder Kavua, the Daven Musaf, and then Daven Mincha. Saying, well, we're in the Beit Knesset anyway. Since it took us a little bit longer because we had this crazy chazan for chakras, we might as well daven mincha first and then daven musaf, because it's already zman for mincha. You know, which can happen certainly on the Yom and Merayim and so on. Problem is, the guy who gets out of that minyan is never going to have his head straight back on again now in terms of what he's supposed to daven first. So there are many who hold that this only applies to Yochid, it doesn't apply to Rav. It would certainly not go there on Hagen and Beit HaKnesset to daven mincha before musaf. Rabbi Zeira kavi cholish midirsei. When Rabbi Zeira got just tired of learning and he just could not take another minute, so he went, instead of watching TV, he went to sit on the doorstep of Rabbi Nosson Batuvi, where there was Talmidim were learning, and he said, "Look, at least kichalfi rabbanon azekum mekamayu. When the rabbanon come out of the Beit Hamidrash over here, I'll stand up. At least I'll get some schar." If I was watching TV, what kind of schar would I get? So what happened is, Rav Nosson Batuvi himself came up. Well, I can't resist an opportunity. I mean, I was a little tired, but I can't resist an opportunity to talk with him. I mean, so he asked him, Zera asked him, "Man amar halakha b'midrasha?" Who was quoting the halakha in the Beis Hamidrash about this? Todir, neino todir, you were Isaacian. Omar le, hochi omar b'yokana. Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, d'yomer mispalel adam shem musaf yachakum mispalel shem mincha. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that musaf comes first. Omalei, wow. Rabbi Yochanan said that? He said, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan said that. Did you say that again? I said Rabbi Yochanan said that halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. You're kidding, Rabbi Yochanan. Yes, could you say it again? He did this 40 times. He was very excited about this. I mean, 40 times to make sure he gets it solved. Finally, Rabbi Zeira asked him, you know, it's about to be the 41st time, he said, well, let me just ask you something. Is this the only thing you ever heard in your life from Rav Yochanan? That's why you're so excited? I mean, I could put it on tape. So is it Chodeh Hilacha? Is this the only mimer that you have in Rav Yochanan? Or Chadat Hilacha? Is this new to you because you used to have it a different way and you're trying to straighten out your gears? It's new because I always used to think Misapkali Rav Yoshua ben Levi. I used to think it was Rav Yoshua ben Levi. And now you're coming and tell me it was Rav Yochanan who quoted it. I need to get that absolutely straight. I mean, next thing you know, I'll go back to the way I used to think about it with Rav Yoshua ben Levi again. So I have to chazer it over. Honor Rav Yoshua ben Levi. Kol ha-mitpalel tevilah shel musafim la'ach reshev ha-shos Rav Yehuda. If you daven musaf too late, alav ha-ketuv omer, about him, the Torah was referring when it said, nugei mimoed asafti mimech, ayum mas eit aleha, we'll see with darshan later, to mimech hayu. Ayum mas eit aleha cherpa. So he's darshaning that to say, that nugi, that means to say, like nugot, misery and so on, and brokenness, there's two lashonas, as we'll see later on. So you were broken because of the never making the moed on time. And because it was a masetala, you took it as a difficult thing to do. It was burdensome to you. So my mashkai nugila, Tosu says it because it can't mean literally to be ma'achah the moed. I mean, how can you be ma'achah the moed? I mean, either you're there or you're not there. You can't make it later. Tefillah, you can make it later. So you can say, if it's a reference to tefillah, you can be late for tefillah, okay? So therefore, he's darshing a pasuk to be a reference of what you were goreim, that you were, your tefillahs were broken by the fact that you didn't come on time. My mashmah d'hai nugi losha d'tavrahu. The way we're learning it now, the nugi means breaking, destroying. Kinematargim Rav Yosef. Tavrahati al Saneim to Beit Yisrael. This is a euphemism, of course. We're going to destroy the enemies of Yisrael. Al diachru zmani mo'adayah de Yerushalayim. Because they came late for the mo'adim. So we're only looking at the first part of Rav Yosef, obviously, for destruction. Omer Rav Elazar kolam mitpaleo tefillah shel shacharit li'achar arba shaot l'Rav Yehuda. Alav ha-katuv omer, nugei mimoi. Now over here, nugei can't mean tavra. Because if it's the tefillah, the way Marsha understands the sugya, if we're referring to shachris, you can always make it up. Because it's tashlumin for shachris. So bishleim, if we're talking about musaf, that's mu'uvat lo yachol litka. There's no way to make, you can't daven an extra mincha to make up for musaf, l'chora. Because it's not part of the, it's avarzman of batul karbono, indeed, the musafik. It's not rachamim. It's a zecher of the korban. You mentioned the korban. So, but when it comes to shachris, the most you could say is it's miserable. Nugi is a lashon of betulotea nugot tsar.
The nitzashum is only dimishogeh, not the mezid. You must not be talking about mezid.
Yeah. But here it doesn't mechalik between shogeh and mezid. It says it was a tircha, maseit. So that we don't hold as the nafkimina. So my mashma da'ai nuge lishna de tsarahu. Therefore, the Gemara assumes, this is how the Gemara assumes, therefore the Gemara assumes here it doesn't mean tavra, it means tsar. Because we find nuga being used in terms of tsar from dolfa nafshi mituga. Or Nachum Yitzchak says, from betulotea nugot v'yimarla in Echa, which is they were miserable. Anyway, Rav Avia was feeling a little weak one morning. And he didn't show up to Rav Yosef drasha. Now they used to give a drasha on Shabbos between shachris and musaf. People would leave the Beit Midrash, the Beit HaKnesset, go into the Beit Midrash, listen to the central drasha, the Rav, and then go back and daven musaf. Rav Avia didn't show up to the shir. So l'mocher kiyosa, when Rav Avia showed up the next day to the Beit HaMidrash, Abaye knew that Rav Yosef was pretty upset about it. And he wanted to talk it out. He knew Rav Yosef wasn't going to talk to Rav Avia about it, but he wanted to make Rav Yosef feel better. So, Ba'a Bayalanuki died to Rav Yosef. So in front of Rav Yosef, he asked Rav Avia, how come you didn't show up to Shir yesterday for the drasha? I was feeling so weak. I got up feeling like Richard does some days, and I couldn't budge. You should have had a cup of coffee and perk up and then come to the drasha. Omalei, what do you mean? How could I take a cup of coffee? Well, you don't know the word Ravuna. Ravuna says, Asrulo ladam, shi yitom klum kodim shi palot vulatam musafim. You're not allowed to have a cup of coffee before Musaf. Omalei, so he said, why didn't you daven Musaf? Go daven Musaf in Yechidus. And then the Musaf of the Yachid. So before the Beit HaKnesset, you should have davened anyway. You didn't show up. You could have davened quickly, made a kiddush, gotten yourself some coffee, cake, and come in like a mensch to listen to the drasha. Don't you agree with Rabbi Yochanan? It says that asurlo la'adam she'akdim tefilato letefilat ha'tzibur. You're not supposed to daven musaf before everybody else does. The musaf is essentially a public thing. Omarlei. So he said, Rabbi said, Ravavi, Lavit Marlomer Rababa, but Sibushana. That's only when you're in shul and everybody sees you davening early like you want to get out before everybody else. But if you're in your own home, you don't have to daven the same time everybody else is davening. So you could have hurried up, davened a fast musaf, had a kiddush, and showed up to the drasha, and Rabbi Yosef wouldn't have been the wiser. Then you wouldn't have missed out on the great drasha yesterday. That doesn't hurt getting in alone. But the truth is, we don't pass them like this. Ravuna is not true la'alokah. It's not usher to have a kiddush before Musaf. Let Hilchos Halacha Ravuna. And by the way, there's another shita that sounds similar, which is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and the halacha is not like him either. The halacha is not like Ravuna Hadi Amar, what we just said about Musaf. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Kivan shigia zman tefilat ha-mincha, asur lo la'adam shi'itom klum kodem shepelet tefilat ha-mincha. You're not allowed to have a cup of coffee before mincha. That's not true either. So, but anyway, meanwhile, Rabbi Yosef certainly saw that an awful lot of thinking went into his missing the drasha and felt very different about it. Kalman, you're sitting in the hot seat. You're going to have to do it. Our president.
There
we go. You know, it just isn't the same. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana was always seen praying something when he came into the Beit HaMidrash and praying something very brief when he left the Beit HaMidrash. And they asked him, what is this? When I go in, I want to make sure that nothing that I do today is going to cause problems. I don't want to make any mistakes and hurt anybody's Olam Haba. On my way out, I thank the good Lord for giving me a place in the Beit Midrash. What was his tefillah, in fact? That no mistakes, no takola, should come through the way that I learn a sugya. Nor if I'm asked the dvar halacha, should I make a mistake in a psach. And if I do, I know everybody will be so happy, which will throw them straight into hell. I wouldn't want that to happen either. I don't want my friends to get happy over my fall. So, because then I'll be even responsible for their happiness, which, you know. So it would be better if I'm always right and they don't have anything to be happy about. That's how Rashi learns. The Marshal learns Kipshuto. I would like that my chaverim should be happy with me, that what I say should find favor in their eyes, and not that I should be found and made a mistake, which will make everyone sad. V'lo omar al tamei tohor. V'lo al tohor tamei. Not that there's any difference between machmer and mekel. You have to say what's right. V'lo yikashlu chavirai b'dvar halacha. Nor should my friends make any mistakes which would cause me to maybe to have a little schadenfreude with them. That's mach by him, and I don't want that to happen either. That would be terrible for me. Again, according to Rasha, this means, and let me enjoy my friends. You'll notice, by the way, that this Mishnah is makpil, and as usually we find, that a previous sugya introduces the centerpiece of the next Mishnah, assuming that the centerpiece indeed is the interrelationship between Talmidim and the Beit Midrash. And that's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was attempting to deal with. Then the whole story of Bo Bayom is brought into Gemara, not agav, the sugya of the Zman of Arvit, but rather those two sugyas are interrelated because of this Mishnah.
I heard from a friend Steiner Shlita that Cook, that's had different gears to have, gears of Kuros instead of Kronos, Kuros being an abbreviation for Kirkosos or Teotros.
Okay. Well, we're not up to there yet.
Where's your Kronos being ready?
I don't know. Right now I was in the middle of saying a shot that I think was very valuable. This is a nice Russia, but yeah. Okay, so he said, Modeh ani lefanecha Hashem, what was his bitvilato? Modeh ani lefanecha Hashem Elokai, shesamta chokim yoshvei Beit HaMidrash, v'lo samta chokim yoshvei Kronot, or he has another girsa, yoshvei Kir Kasaot. You know, I don't want to be with people who spend their time in a circus.
The teatrot,
of course. He doesn't want me to be quoting the movies anymore. So, Rashi learns over here, yoshvei Kronot, he's the referring to, you know, the guys that hang out on the corner and they play, you know, like Arabs do, you know, sheshbash. Or exactly, chedvanim he brings. People that, you know, they have their little stands, and everybody hangs out in the kiosk, and, you know, cafes. Okay, shani mashkim vehim mashkimim. Ani mashkim ledivrei Torah vehim mashkimim ledvarim betelim. Ani amel vehim amelim, ani amel umakabel sachar. והם המילים ואינם מקבלים שכר. אני רץ והם רצים, הם, אני רץ לחיילום הבא, והם רצים לבאר שחס. תודה רבונן, כשחלה רבי אליעזר, נכנסו תלמידיו לבקרו, אמרו לו רבינו, למדנו אורחות חיים, ונזכה בהם לחיילום הבא. And again, this is part of the same song, yeah? אמר להם, היזהרו בכבוד חבריכם. You want to know how to get to עולם הבא? You should be careful with the cover of your friends. You see how clearly the interrelationship with Rabbi Akiva and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it's not much thematic to the sugya.
But his name is absent. I think no listener from the sugya before. He was from the Dolan, he was from the sugya from Lucia. Why wasn't he raised?
On the contrary, isn't there a little problem of Rabbi Eliezer's position here? Don't allow your children to go to these modern Bible classes, you know, because they'll end up just spending their time learning Chumash. They won't have the slightest idea what they're talking about, not knowing Torah Shebaalpeh. On the contrary, put them between the legs of Talmidei Chachamim. They should be makabel the derech of the Torah Shebaalpeh, and then they can understand Tanakh, but to have them learning Tanakh, that's all you need. You'll end up as Bible critics or something. And when you daven, you should know that you're standing in front of the Shechina, and it should not be just a habit with you. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was ill and was about to die. So nichtes Talmidav levakro. His Talmidim walked in to be mevaker. When he saw them, he started to cry. Amrulo Talmidav, Neri Yisrael, Amuda Yemani, Batisha Chazak, Vibnei Ma Tabuche. Why in the world should somebody like you be crying? I mean, a person who was the light of all of Klal Yisrael. The Amuda Yemini, the Batisha Chazak, how is it that you're crying? Amar Lehem, what do you mean? Even if I was going for a din to a human king, what's a human king? He's here today, gone tomorrow. If he's mad, what's he going to do about it? He's going to be dead soon. Imosrani, if he puts me in jail, en Yisro Yisro Olam, nothing's forever. Even if he kills me, en Mitato Mitat Olam, that death is not forever. And the truth is, you can always talk your way out of it, buy your way out of it. And the Yokolafai Sobidvarim, like the Bimashak Sobimomon. Nonetheless, boy, I'd be scared out of my wits. Afapi can I eat the boche. Achshav shemolechinoti lefnei melech machem lachim hakadosh baruch hu shu chai vekayam lolam lomei olamim shim koes olai kaso kas olam vimosrani yisro yisro olam im beimitani mitato mitat olam ve'eni yochol lefaisu bedvorim. There's nothing I can do to talk my way out of anything. Lo l'shachto b'momon v'lo od, not to mention the fact sheyesh lefanai shnei drachim, there's two paths in front of him. One of them goes to Gan Eden, and one of them goes to Gehenom, and I don't know where I'm going. What are you saying? I shouldn't be crying. Somebody saw all the Rishonim talk about what's going on. And after Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai wants to teach his Talmidim, I mean, why wasn't he Yosef Teshuva? If that's what he was worried about, I mean, what's he was misupik about it? There's a lot of different approaches, a famous approach. I mean, it's clear, actually. Anyway, I mean, it's to quote it in the name of my Rebbe, but I mean, you know, he says obviously he wasn't misupik about his meisim. Rather, he knew his meisim. He was misupik whether he was right about his meisim, not about his meisim. So there's a lot of different approaches. Mamish, the Rishonim talk about it. I have an approach that I hold as Mamish, Boruch Hachama. I didn't see it anywhere. And it's Nogea, the continuation of the Sugya. So Amrulo Rabbeinu Borchenu. So they said to him, give us a brocha. So he said to them, Yihira Tzon Shetemore Shamayim Aleichem Kemore Boser V'dam, that you should have Meir Shamayim the way you have Meir from people. So they said, that's it? Hakan, that's your brocha, your parting brocha. That's pretty disgusting. You must think we're like really a bunch of no good men. Amalim Halavai, what are you talking about? Alavai, you should have Meir Shamayim the way you're afraid of people. Teinu, I'll bring you Raya. A person doesn't have Eira. He's afraid someone will see him. He's afraid someone will see him. What do you mean? God is seeing him. What's the word? Someone is seeing him. Elamai, people don't care about God. So if I'm telling you, you should be afraid of God the same way you're afraid you'll be seen. So you see that the tremendous Madrega? Bishat Pitirato Amar Lehim. As he was dying, he told them, "Panu kelim b'pnei atuma." Take out all of the kelim from the house, that they shouldn't become tame when I die. So here, some bring a raya from here against the shita that holds that tzaddikim are not matame, because it says beferish. He said it's matame. However, others taina that the whole din of that there's no tuma by a Talmud Chacham doesn't refer to kelim at all. It refers to Yisr Tumah L'Gavi Kohen. So the fact that he didn't want the Kalim to be Tumahim, which afterwards they would remain Tumahim, is not right. It's fine. Ve'echinu kisei l'chizkiyo melech Yehuda, prepare a seat for Chizkiyo, who's coming to be Malavami. So you should have covered for Chizkiyo melech Yehuda. It sure sounds that he thought he was a pretty big tzaddik. I mean, Chizkiyo is coming to be Malavim. So some learn he said this in order that the Talmidim shouldn't be chayshirim. There may be some kind of real balavera. I mean, he's crying. We don't find anybody else doing this. He's putting on such a show of dying. I mean, manushach, if he has something, then let him do tshuva. I mean, what's... So therefore he wanted to show them. The Sefer HaGilgulim says that he was a Gilgul of Chizkiyo. Reb Sad Yagon says that he was a descendant of Chizkiyo, which is a whole shaila, because there's some who learn that he was a Kohen, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. And they bring a raya from this. Tosus also brings rayas from elsewhere that he wasn't a Kohen. And they bring from Reb Sad Yagon, from this Gemara, that it must have been that he was a relative of Chizkiyo, and so Mamela, he felt that Chizkiyo was going to be Malavim, and therefore it must be that he's not a Kohen. Anyway. Yeah, otherwise, it's not Ben Acherben. I mean, it'd be related to anybody. Okay, so here's where I have my pshat, that is a beautiful pshat. The reason that Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda was coming to be Malava, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, is because the two of them led equivalent lives. Both of them had to make a decision as to what to do with Yerushalayim. Chizkiyo had to decide whether to surrender to some cheirim, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to decide whether to be mavakish from Caesar for Yerushalayim or Yavna. He decided for Yavna. The Gemara says, if he was given three requests, he could have asked to save Yerushalayim. He didn't, because he felt that then he would lose it all. It was better to have Yavna. When he says here that I see two paths in front of me, one that goes to hell and one that goes to Gan Eden, that was his problem. I don't know. Because even at the time of Hezekiah, we know that there was the whole Sia of Shivna, who held it, and Hezekiah held that they were the rabbis, and that you would have to follow them, because the rabbis were 30,000 people in that base of Medrash, can I get his 20,000, who paskin that you're supposed to surrender to Sancheiros. It was only after the Navi told them that it's Kesher Rishoyim, and that they don't count. Inam and Amiyam, he can't decide that on his own. That came the whole Maisa we shared, that we're in fact Shivna. Try to surrender to Sancheiriv and so on. Very much what happened with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they were trying to fight, he had to sneak out. So he's not sure, is he Shivna or is he Chizkiyahu? Right? It's an unbelievable situation to be in, to never know whether the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of you, or whether you saved Klal Yisrael because of Yavna. I mean, it's an unbelievable situation. That's why it's not a normal, you're asking somebody, what are you crying? You say, well, I understand. You know, I made a judgment that was probably the most insane judgment choice ever made in history, right? I mean, a decision like that, you're talking about the lives of millions of people, and it's like on the edge of a knife, analyzing the psychology, the geopolitics. I mean, it's just impossible.
And he said, "Efsher habalei etzalaporta," even in his request.
Yeah, he wasn't sure.
It's a miyodea.
It's a miyodea. So Memela, he felt that Chizkiyo, the only other person in history that had ever been put into such a position, was Chizkiyo. Okay, so the result is that he must have been an actual Gilgal of Chizkiyo, a descendant of Chizkiyo, that obviously because of this Meisah. But it certainly is part of the Metzias of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But once you see this, all the way to understand the Sugya, it's Ramesh and Babar, he's making it clear in the end, what am I talking about? You know, you can be sure Chizkiyo, if I'm here, Chizkiyo knows if you're this here. You know, we're both facing this, you know. So I mean, that's the question, whether when he said that's going to be Malavami to Din, or that's going to be Malavami to support me. I mean, that part isn't clear which part he means. But he's certainly letting us know what he had on his mind.
I'm sorry for that, but let's look at it. Rebbe first said this to Yeshiva, and I said it over this way for a moment, that's what he did. It was why when he saw his Tamidim did he break out crying.
Yeah.
Because he chose them over Yavnah, that's the trigger to the cry.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
it's when the Tamidim, one thing, he sees the Tamidim, that brings to
that's
the
this cried. Issue. The other one, he was Bocha, because this whole thing was a Lima to the Tamidim. True, I don't believe it. Then he allowed himself to express it. Otherwise, you know, but he wants to tell me to understand what he's up to. Certainly the same in Yom. Yeah. All right, I guess we're a little behind. We'll do the Mishnah tomorrow. Over now.
I'm going to go to the next one.